Hey, Mike.
Hey, Caleb. How's it going?
I'm doing well. It's a nice night here in Palo Alto.
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a White Lady. It's gin, egg white, and lime and Contro.
Oh, very fancy.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Vieux Carré tonight. It's kind of a classic, and it didn't involve fresh fruit, which I didn't have any fresh fruit, so it worked out pretty well.
All right. What are we going to talk about tonight?
I'd like to talk about the superchargers and the supercharger network that Tesla is building out. What is a supercharger?
A supercharger is two things. It's both a device that actually charges Teslas at a very rapid rate, but it's also used to describe the network of these chargers, which Tesla has deployed across the world at this point. And they are very high-speed chargers. And so what that means is, if you're going for a road trip and you are running low on juice in your Tesla, you can pull over to a supercharger and charge up about half of your capacity in about 30 minutes. So you stop, take a bathroom break, eat some food, and your Tesla's halfway charged again, and you're on your way. So it's sort of Tesla's answer to how electric vehicles can deal with long distance road trips.
So is the supercharger the same thing that they give you to plug in your garage, or is it a different piece of equipment?
It's a totally different piece of equipment. And this, I think, is one of the things that Tesla has some confusion over. And I think charging is just very confusing. With a gasoline car, your only real decision is, do I want 87% grade, 90 or 92? And other countries have slightly different grades, but in the US, those are sort of the main ones. With charging, it's essentially all electrons flowing in, but there's many different ways you can get the electrons in. And so the supercharger is the fastest way, and faster by a pretty wide margin. So if you were to plug in your electric car into a standard plug, like a three-prong plug in your house, that's going to charge at about 4 miles per hour of range. So 10 hours to charge 40 miles, right? Then a supercharger is going to charge 350 miles in an hour.
Wow.
So it's vastly quicker. So it's really the only way that you could viably pull to the side of the road, charge up, and keep going on your long distance trip without having to stop for a sleepover every 200 miles or so. So it's a pretty big breakthrough, and it had always been one of the big concerns with electric vehicles is, how are you going to solve the problem of people wanting to go and do long distance trips? And the supercharger has been Tesla's answer to that question. So it's much, much faster.
And so whatever happened to, didn't Tesla have a strategy of possibly like swapping out battery packs or something? I guess kind of like what you would do with like not laptops nowadays, but older laptops, you could just swap out for a new battery pack. Was that something that they were working on?
Yeah, that's right. They did have a plan to do that. They actually built into the Model S the capability to rapidly remove the battery pack in about 90 seconds. And Elon Musk actually demoed this in 2013 at one of their events, showing a battery swap. When I first saw it, it was really cool and like, wow, that's super impressive technically, that they had designed it in, and like, wow, that's a really interesting option. $50, just the same as like filling up and you get a whole new battery pack. But they tried it out at one supercharger location. They added in the battery swap at a Harris Ranch, which is here in California, on the way down to LA between San Francisco and LA. And they invited some Tesla customers to use it. They sent out to like 200 in the first round, and only 4 or 5 people used it. And at one of the shareholder meetings, Elon was saying, I quote, "It's clearly not very popular. People don't care about pack swap. The superchargers are fast enough. Based on what we're seeing here, it's unlikely to be something that we're worth expanding in the future unless something changes." So they had this really bold plan. I'm sure it cost them a lot of money to build in that capacity in the Model S. And unfortunately, people just didn't want to use it. Even when they invited everyone in California to use it, it just did not get the adoption, which kind of interesting that it just didn't take off. Free is super powerful, I guess.
How does it compare to, I guess for gas prices, it compares very, very favorably if you're getting it for free. But from Tesla's end, like, what are they paying out for, like, a charge?
The original plan, and I think it's still their intention, was that all of the superchargers that were capable of it due to the amount of sunlight they got would be powered by the sun with solar energy. And some of the California superchargers have solar canopies over the charge areas. And Elon, at the announcement in 2012, when they announced the supercharger network, had said all of the superchargers that are capable will have this solar power. And they would be partnering with SolarCity to provide those solar panels.
Synergy.
Exactly, yeah. SolarCity and Tesla sitting in a tree.
If we could somehow involve SpaceX too, this would be awesome.
I know. There's going to be something. Eventually, there's got to be. and so when you calculate it out, it at average 12 cents per kilowatt, which is sort of the U.S. average, it would cost about $11 to fill up a top-of-the-line Model S. And for a gas alternative, averaging about 25 miles per gallon, to get that same 280 or so mile range would be about 11 gallons at the AAA rated price of $2.44. That would be $26.84. So the customer surplus benefit is $27 per full fill up at a supercharger.
Where are these superchargers located? I guess if you're talking about solar canopies, I'm imagining that those can't be in, like, dense urban areas or something. That must be, like, off of highways and sunny areas. Are they only in these kind of locations, or are they more centrally located or urbanly located?
They're very, very few in urban areas. And it goes to the original intention of the superchargers. Elon Musk said, we're giving Model S the ability to drive almost anywhere for free on pure sunlight, which is a great tagline. And the goal was really to alleviate the problem of, I have a Tesla, I can charge it at home, and I can drive to my house, and I can drive to work and back and go to shopping. And usually I can cover that on my 250 or so mile range. But if I want to go on a trip for Thanksgiving or Christmas or some other holiday, or just go on a spur-of-the-moment road trip, I can only go 125 or so miles one way before I really have to have this range anxiety. And so the supercharger was built to alleviate that concern. And so they've placed them in high traffic corridors for major connecting points between cities and states across the globe. And so when it first rolled out in 2012, there were just six, and they covered from San Francisco down to about Los Angeles.
Oh, so they covered everywhere a Silicon Valley venture capitalist might need to travel.
Yes, and Elon Musk, because SpaceX is down in Los Angeles, as well as the design center for Tesla. But Tesla's headquarters is in Palo Alto. So basically the San Francisco to LA commute, Elon needed a way to do that as well. And so they started on the West Coast. Also, that was where the majority of their sales had been at that point. And then they later added the Northeast corridor, Philadelphia, Boston, Connecticut, Delaware. And they've slowly been adding capacity on the East and West Coast, and then slowly dragging out from the coast inward to create a cross-country U.S. Destination for cross-country travel. And then they started rolling in Western Europe, Canada, and then parts of Asia. And so as of now, they are up to just around 600 or so stations, and with about 3,600 individual chargers, since each supercharger station has multiple bays for cars to connect to.
And when you say, so it sounds pretty fancy when you talk about bays and chargers and stuff, but it's essentially a parking lot with, like, fancy devices, like, at the end.
Yeah, it is. It looks really nice in their promotional photos. Not all of them look as good as on their website, but they are usually in malls, in large parking areas off of interstates, in hotels now.
Is it only private locations that they're partnering with, or because it seems like if they could be on, like, rest areas or vista points of off of interstates that would be useful? Are they doing any like public partnerships there?
From what I can gather, and looking at many of the West Coast ones and East Coast, they all seem to be private land leases. I can't find any. And one of the big questions from existing owners is actually wanting superchargers in national parks, mm-hmm. because they oftentimes, as you know, are like pretty far away from the main thoroughfares. And if you are to go into a national park and run out of juice, there just isn't much around. So it doesn't seem like Tesla's actually been able to partner too much with public spaces for it. And the agreements for superchargers are really interesting because they reach out to businesses in these areas that they're trying to get more density of superchargers in. And they make them this offer essentially of, we will build capacity if you lease us land for free to put superchargers. And they start out with that offer, and eventually sometimes they get to paying for some of the stalls. But their pitch is that all these affluent people will be coming and staying on your parking lot in your area for about 30 to 40 minutes. So it would be advantageous for you to give us a couple empty parking spots that most likely are never going to be used to install superchargers and attract these folks who are driving through and hungry and need to use the bathroom and maybe have some money to spend.
Yeah, it seems like an obvious thing to add to those like TA centers, the Travel America, I think it is, or whatever those rest area things are where they have like the showers for truckers and stuff off the side of highways.
Yeah, totally. And I think what's been interesting is like I went to one today actually at the Mountain View Supercharger.
This is in Silicon Valley in California?
Yep. And it is right in the back parking lot of the Computer History Museum. And there were 12 bays, 12 parking spots. And 11 of them were full with 10 Model S's and one Model X. And I stayed there for 15 minutes or so, just sort of seeing what the traffic patterns were, doing good research. And there's a Starbucks across the street. There is a 7-Eleven across the street. There's a Computer History Museum, which has a cafe, which is, you know, not gated by the admission price to the museum. And there were only one or two people sitting in their car. So the mechanics of it are you pull in to a parking spot. A lot of times you have to back in because the charger is actually oriented towards the back of the spot. You take the plug out of this very white obelisk style object. and when you get it close to your charge port, the charge port opens automatically. You put in the supercharger charger. The ring starts glowing green. And you can walk away. And if you have the iPhone app set up, it will alert you when your car is fully charged. So you go back to your car and you drive away. So most people will actually leave their vehicle and go do something for 20 or 30 minutes while they're charging up.
Oh, so this seems like something like so Tesla's not owning the properties, then it seems like a pretty interesting value add for other businesses to start offering, like movie theaters or stores or strip malls or wherever else you might have people where you want to get people into your facility for 30 to 60 minutes.
So they also have this concept of destination chargers, which they have a few thousand of deployed as well, which are a little bit, about half the speed or so, quite a bit slower, but they are less expensive to install. You don't have to give as many parking spots away. And they're for places where you would go and spend many hours of time, hence the destination charger name. And they're installing those at a lot of hotels, malls, and now actually in Manhattan, there are more charging stations for Tesla than gas stations. And it's really fascinating that there are now so many more chargers for Teslas because condos and apartment buildings are now installing them in their garages, and public garages are installing them because they can charge a little bit extra, and New York parking is extremely expensive to begin with. And so if you have monthly parking or weekly parking or even daily parking in Manhattan, you can now have a Tesla in many of these garages. And so it's an incentive to choose one garage over another, stay at one hotel versus another if you're on a trip. And so, yeah, I think it is a really big draw. And the great thing is Tesla will offer to pay for those charging and the installation if you're a participating hotel. So they have an entire team dedicated to different parts of the country, different parts of the world, focused on getting higher and higher density charging. And this year alone, Tesla is committed to increasing the supercharger capacity by 50% this year. So that'll be another 250 or so superchargers worldwide added this year to continue to expand the supercharger network.
So it seems like the ideal next steps here would be a completely automated charging, where your car could just park itself in the spot, or even if you have to just drive in one way or the other, not have to worry about backing in, and then the charger can automatically like start charging your car somehow. Then you don't have to worry about getting out of your car, possibly touching some dirty cables, unplugging stuff in. Is Tesla doing anything towards this like sort of brain dead, no effort charging?
Yeah, they have a few, they've tipped their hat a few ways at this. So there's a couple reasons for it. One, I think, as you pointed out, like the messiness of charging is just, you know, we can do better.
And they decay too, right? Like they're shiny and white and beautiful superchargers now, but you know, after like 400 Teslas use them, they're going to start to get a little nasty.
Yeah. So I think there's a few ways that Tesla is trying to approach this. The first is experimenting with chargers that can automatically insert themselves into your vehicle. They've actually shown a video of a snake charger, which will move from the wall, sort of like a Terminator tentacle from the movie, and find its way into the plug. And so it's a very anthropomorphized tentacle style charging.
Yeah, the whole thing is very biological.
Yeah, so you'd be able to sort of pull into your garage or pull into the supercharger, and it would find the charger and insert itself. So that's part one. That is not yet shipping. That is not yet announced, except for a small sort of Vine video, essentially, of it in the lab. So it's not ready for prime time.
That was a while ago, too, right? That was at least a year or
yeah,
more ago.
Yeah, at least a year ago. Yeah. And then they have a second component where the superchargers in prime areas, especially in California, because the density of Teslas is quite high, the superchargers can get overwhelmed, and you may have a line at certain stations. And so at a few stations, they've actually started implementing a valet system, and Tesla won't call it a valet. They just call it a supercharger attendant. And that person is basically playing traffic cop and will... In some reports, people have said that they'll actually move your car for you, because you can imagine if there's 10 bays and 15 people there, you may have to wait an hour or so to actually get a spot. And so if your car is full and you're not there to move it, that's pretty bad etiquette. And for a very busy supercharger, this can be a really big problem on Thanksgiving, Christmas holidays. And so they actually now are putting attendants there to help with some of these. Obviously, that's a short-term fix, but I think it just shows that Tesla certainly realizes that they need to make sure they have enough capacity. And in the places where they don't, they need to manage this, because a gas station, you know, it takes 5 minutes or so to pump your gas and be on your way. And so, you know, queuing theory helps us figure out how many people they can actually deal with and what the sort of mean time wait would be. With a supercharger of 30 minutes or more, you know, you need a lot of capacity to be able to deal with the spiky load. So they're working on it. And I think that the sort of solution for it is to help spread out the demand across more and more superchargers. So both increasing the actual throughput at any particular supercharger with more bays. The lucky thing is many of these spots have thousands of parking spots, and Tesla's only using, you know, 5 to 10.
So yeah, one thing the U.S. is not hurting for is parking spots.
Exactly. There's so many parking spots that are being super underutilized at these places. So if they can show that there's actually increased economic benefit to these proprietors, I think they'll have a pretty easy time adding more. Tesla has already said that the cost of them They value them actually at around $580,000 each on their book value, because in their I did a little digging into their annual report and found out that they valued their supercharger network at $340 million at the end of 2015. And if you then back out how many superchargers they had at that point, it works out to $580,000 per supercharger, a value that Tesla's booking for that, essentially. So Tesla's putting out a fair amount of cash to build these, but luckily they have a lot of cash from the Model 3 reservations. And they also just have a lot of cash coming in through the sale of their vehicles. And they also account for superchargers in the cost of the car in their accounting. And so for every car they sell right now, the Model S and Model X, supercharging is built in as a cost. So similar to the way that Apple will build in the price, the cost of providing software updates.
Right. Or some car makers will bundle OnStar for like the first year or something. And
yeah, exactly.
Afterwards.
So that sort of service is built into the cost of goods of the car. And so every car they sell, they are sort of squirreling away a little bit of cash to help both pay for the electricity, but also pay for the build out. So I think they're just going to keep going and going. And the superchargers get a ton of usage right now. So I think it's definitely working. And I think it's probably helping the business owners as well.
It's a totally fascinating, almost shadow business for Tesla, where that's not anything that they're getting credit for, but they're essentially, maybe this is the same thing that Henry Ford had to deal with too, where it's not enough to sell a car, but you also have to build out the infrastructure to get gas in that car for people. So it's sort of a early mover problem, I guess.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that the number of chargers that exist for other companies to use is quite small for this particular problem of long distance. There's a lot in cities and in denser urban areas, but no one is really tackling this long distance charging on mass scale the same way Tesla is. And I guess I should also be said that the superchargers are only available currently for Tesla owners. Tesla has said they would be open to allowing other car manufacturers to use the supercharger network if they were to pay proportionally for their usage. So they're not vehemently against the idea of other manufacturers using them, but no deals have been struck to date of other electric car companies using them. So it is a durable advantage at this point. If you want to do long distance travel, you should get a Tesla. And I think that's a pretty valuable thing. Considering how much people do long distance travel, even though the number of trips is pretty small per year, the miles driven per year is actually pretty high.
Yeah, it's a different, it's an interestingly different approach than, say, what Chevrolet or General Motors is doing with the Bolt, where they provide the gas generator to essentially top off your battery in their Volt or Bolt, I guess will probably be the same system. So what's interesting here is it's, you're talking about the Model X and the Model S and these premium vehicles where you can actually add this extra price into it to do this build out. And when you talk about capacity, there are a lot fewer of them sold. So there's going to be less competition for the few spots that are available. I mean, even if there are like, you know, thousands available around the world, how will Tesla deal with this when the hundreds of thousands of Model 3s roll out?
Yeah, I think that's one of the big questions amongst Tesla followers. And I think also for anyone in the know about prospectively buying a Model 3 is that, at like we said, at peak times, there can be quite a high amount of demand on superchargers. And how will Tesla keep up? So I think there's a few key things that Tesla is doing. And then thematically, a few things we can look to understand what's going to happen. So the first is at the announcement, Elon and Tesla announced that the Model 3 would be supercharger capable. And those words, I think, were very carefully chosen because they didn't say supercharging would be free. They said the hardware would be there, it'd be capable. And what's interesting is the base Model S, a few years ago, the Model the 60 kilowatt hour battery pack one, it was actually a $2,000 upgrade to enable supercharging. So higher battery pack spec cars had supercharging included, but the 60 was a $2,000 upgrade. And so the 60 being their base model, the lowest price, they decided to make it an option. And so folks could decide if they wanted to opt in or not. That's going to be similar for the Model 3. We don't know what the price will be yet, but it seems very, very, very likely that you will have to pay an upgrade to get supercharging. And the superchargers have no way currently to deal with per use pricing, a la carte pricing. And so I think it's going to be all or nothing. I think you're going to have to choose if you want to upgrade to make your car supercharger enabled or not. And I think it'll be a software update. I think it'll be included. So at any point, you could choose to upgrade it for a price. So that'll be the first thing, that of every Model 3 sold, not everyone will upgrade to use supercharging.
And those, you don't think that it'll be like a gas station where you could just go in, swipe your card, and get top off your tank?
No. None of the superchargers have any capability of that today. And I don't think they'll split it in that. I don't think they'll do that. I don't think they'll have it be metered unless it's many years from now and they realize that people prefer to pay per mile for supercharging capabilities versus this sort of full use. Because the intention is for long distance travel versus sort of daily charging, or you know, if you're going on a long distance trip, you need to fill up anyways fully. So I think it's really just you deciding, do you expect to take enough long distance trips that you would want to do supercharging?
That'll be an interesting decision, because I don't know if I would be comfortable with deciding how much gas I want to buy in a given year based on like an annual subscription or a one-time payment. That'll be interesting to see how the mass market adapts to that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel very confident that at launch of the Model 3, it will be a paid upgrade. Based on the prior history and the fact that the current model, the current superchargers have no credit card stations.
Do you know if there's any communication between the car and the charger? Like, is it when you plug it in, is there any like data connection, or is it all just electricity?
At Tesla's headquarters, they have monitors that show the current usage of superchargers around the world. How many stalls are being used, how much power is being used, and they have like a ranker of the top 10 superchargers over the past 24 hours. And what's interesting is they'll actually use that data in one of the next software updates to inform your car when you are in need of charge and the car is routing you to a supercharger to route you to a supercharger that has available bays. Because right now, it will route you automatically to superchargers along your route to make sure you don't run out of electricity, but it is dumb. It doesn't actually currently know how many people are using those stations. So it may route you to a very busy supercharger when it could have taken you to the next one that maybe was only 30 miles away that is empty. The new update will actually load balance, essentially.
So they have the data, they're just not using it yet.
Correct. And so they will start using it. And that's... I know we're getting a little bit off on the three, but that is the third piece, I guess I would say, that I think will help them keep up with demand for supercharging. Is Tesla knows how much superchargers are being used. They know what the usage patterns are. They know how much energy is being used. They know how much time people are spending at them. And I think they probably even know exactly which vehicles are using it. And so they should be able to very accurately understand the usage patterns. They've had many years now from 2012 until now to understand how people are using them. And, you know, with the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas, about 50% more people traveling long distance trips than the average day, that's really their peak. They need to make sure they have enough capacity for those 2 days, those sort of two periods. It's sort of two-week periods, at least in the U.S., for traveling. And so if they can make sure they have enough capacity at those key junction points where Tesla usage is high, I think they'll be good. And I think that the fact that, as we mentioned, the parking spots are plentiful. And so they have a fair amount of capacity for the actual places, the superchargers. So expanding a supercharger is far cheaper and faster logistically than setting up a new one. And so for much of the West Coast and East Coast, they have a pretty good density already. So they could continue to expand those individual superchargers, add more superchargers, and then as they add more, they both get better range and capability for customers wanting to travel, but also getting a more smooth distribution of load across the supercharger network. So I think with Model 3, it will be that combination of decreased pickup rate, number of cars actually using it, an increase in the number of actual superchargers, and then the number of actual stalls being used, increasing at a pretty fast clip. And they've got about 2 years to continue to increase the capacity to meet demand ahead of the Model 3.
It seems like they have a good sales pitch too, that for people who have available parking, that and you know, if you have electricity available, which most parking lots probably will, or with minimal cost will, that you can bring people in. It seems like a good pitch, and it seems like a good rollout strategy.
Yeah, the supercharger system is a really powerful reason that makes a buying an electric vehicle viable. That I do believe for many people, the idea of not being able to go on a road trip, not being able to go see your family who lives slightly further away than a normal 100, 200 mile range, that superchargers are what make it possible to own only a Tesla. If you have a two vehicle household, then that's totally fine. But the superchargers are really, really valuable. And I think Tesla understands that. I think they see how much people are using them. And the really nice thing about it is a different production system. It's a different team that is running on its own, that continues to add more and more superchargers. It's a very clear pitch, like you said, to the proprietors of the landowners to add superchargers. Tesla will foot the bill. They have the cash to do it. And I think they can understand what the ratios are they need of supercharger stations to cars sold. And so as long as they can continue to ramp that team up, I think we'll be in a good spot. I think there will always be ebbs and flows of capacity in certain spots being oversubscribed, as it were. But they'll know that, and they can continue to add more capacity. So
yeah, it seems like no one's car can drive across the U.S. on a single tank of gas, right? Or almost no one.
Yeah.
So people are inherently comfortable with refueling along the way. And so it's not like a new mode of thinking that you have to introduce to people. It's just a different way of refueling. And if they're building it out such that when the mass market gets their Model 3, like the superchargers are already there, it seems like it's more of a lateral move in thinking than some sort of radical shift.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's been the really good thing about the superchargers, is that it really isn't that different. I mean, you have this cable hanging out of your car that looks a lot like a gas system, and it's free. I mean, that's just, it's super compelling.
It's like gas, but better.
Gas, but better. Exactly. And, the cars are going to continue to increase in range, so that for only long distance travel would you really need to use a supercharger. So, and I think most of the time you're not using them. So it's a nice backup and a nice thing when you need it. And so, you know, the superchargers don't have to fill every vehicle every day. And gas stations do. Gas stations are the only place to get gasoline. Superchargers are not the only place to get electrons. The majority of Tesla owners are going to keep filling these things up at their home. And so superchargers do not need to be as widely distributed as gas stations. And they don't need to be as dense as gas stations. They just need to be in the main areas for traveling. And so, you know, obviously solving the apartment problem and condo problem for folks who don't have garages or homes, access to, electricity, that's going to be a separate problem. And superchargers currently take up a bit of that slop in certain areas. I think they're super powerful. It's super interesting. And I think it's extremely bold and strong of Tesla to have solved this problem. GM is not investing in this infrastructure. Nissan is not investing in the infrastructure. Toyota is not investing in this infrastructure. They're just leaving it to the open market to try and build chargers and open standards to build fast DC charging. And Tesla is the one who's stepping up to do this. And I think they are far, far ahead in being able to actually fulfill this mission of having an electric car that is legitimately better than a gasoline car. And this is just one more step where long distance travel, Tesla has a checkbox for it.
Yeah, definitely. It totally has the feeling of something that is grunt work until it becomes obvious that it was necessary, and then it's too late. Like everyone else wants it, and Tesla has built it out, and no one was thinking about it before then, and now it's there.
And it's not fast. You can't go out and get 700 lease agreements from separate places to do this instantaneously. It's just not, it's not easy, like you said, and it takes years. They've been working on this for 4 years.
Yeah, it's already almost the exact opposite of the Falcon Wing door. It is unsexy, but it is completely necessary.
Yep. So they're continuing to build them. I watch their announcements about building more superchargers. I think they understand the importance of this. And luckily, it does not have anything to do with the production capacity of their plants. And so Model 3 challenges or not, Model X challenges or not, superchargers are on their own track and advancing at their own rate. And that's a good thing. It's a separate track, not competing for resources along production. So I don't think it's a roadblock, as it were, for Model 3 production. And I don't think it's something that folks need to be too concerned about when Model 3 comes out, that if they need to use superchargers, I think they will be totally capable of using them. And there might be a slight bump, but Tesla knows how many Model 3s are going to be shipping, so...
Right, and they're not all shipping on day one, right? Like, they've got a lot of supercharging stations right now. They'll add a lot more in the next 2 years, and they'll keep adding them.
Yeah, and more hotels will add destination chargers, more malls will add destination chargers, and so I think it's very likely that by the time the Model 3 comes around, we'll be at, 1,500 or so superchargers, and for the entire U.S., Western Europe, Canada... there will be really no place you wouldn't be able to go without being 50 miles from a supercharger. Hopefully this has been instructive for folks on the supercharger history and networks and sort of how they work.
Yeah, I hope so. I learned a lot. If anyone has any questions or comments or corrections or anything else about superchargers or anything else we've talked about, how can they share that with us?
Yeah, so we have a subreddit now on Reddit for the show. So we're posting every episode there, and we can have discussion in the comments on the subreddit, which is just r/thetesla show. And then also on the website, thetesla show.com, if you click into any episode, there is a way to leave a comment. And so you can leave a comment on the website as well. And you could also follow us or tweet us at the Tesla Show on Twitter.
Excellent. All right. Well, then let's wrap this up, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you later, Mike. Have a great one.
Bye, Caleb.
Bye.
And scene.